Hello and welcome to the Gimme More Gingy podcast. I'm your host Gingy, and I've always lived my life outside of the social norms. With that being said, here I will share unmasked stories of my own as we explore ideas surrounding wellness, personal development, spirituality, sexuality, and so much more. All aimed at the objective in helping you align and honor your authentic self, to explore different viewpoints, and most importantly, to continue growing together. Live? Yes, we are live. Hello, hello. It is your girl, Gingy, and welcome back to another episode of Gimme More Gingy. Today, I am with the Miss Beautiful Tiana. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is so exciting. So, we met through Atmosphere Modeling.
Yes.
You recently moved here from, where was it again?
From Dallas. I lived in Dallas for 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. And again, what made you move out here? I always forget.
So I was in a relationship and we ended things and I just decided I wanted to get out.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Okay.
I didn't like Dallas before I got into the relationship. And then when I got into it, I decided to stay. So it was like one of those things I wanted to leave anyway.
Wait, why didn't you like Dallas?
I feel like it's just the superficial side of things.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Okay.
And you would think that Vegas would be, but it's really not as bad as Dallas at all. Yeah.
I honestly, I haven't like visited Texas in such a long time as an adult to know that. I'll have to go and check. But
yeah.
So we met through Atmosphere Modeling. And first of all, I love the first night I met you. It was for a gig. And you were just so sweet. You obviously are absolutely beautiful, like breathtaking beautifully. Like, seriously, I'm not kidding you. I think you're so gorgeous.
Thank you.
I loved that the first night that we met, you were so kind, but you also kind of just did your own thing, which really stuck out to me because at first I was like looking around and I was like, where did she go? And then you were just like doing your thing. And I was like, wow, that's really cool because you're also very young, but just to be so dependent, not really just, you took your own lead. I really like that about you.
Thank you.
That was really cool.
That was at the house party thing that we worked, right?
I want to say it was the crypto one.
Yeah, the crypto.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That was.
Yeah.
I'm at a point where I enjoy Atmosphere Modeling, but I'm kind of getting over it.
I bet. How long have you been doing it for?
It hasn't really honestly been that long. I think the primary reason is because I'm really trying to focus on like career growth and other avenues that don't involve drinking. And with Atmosphere Modeling, obviously a lot of it that just comes with, it's a product of your environment basically. Yeah. So.
And even if you don't want to drink, I feel like it looks bad on you.
Right, which is such a weird, it's just such a weird environment because you want to go out and you want to go make your money.
Exactly. And it's such easy money, but it's like when you're not drinking, it's so difficult.
Yes, it definitely is a lot harder. Absolutely. And then something else was you're a cat mama.
I am. I have two little babies, Sushi and Tuna.
And what kind of cats are they again?
They're Bengals.
And did you decide to get them? That breed, and if so, why?
So when I moved to Texas, I just kind of, I was lonely. You know, I didn't really know anyone out there. I kind of moved alone. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted a companion or something. And I knew that I couldn't have a dog because I just was too busy. So I was like, cats would be perfect. And then you can't just get one cat. You have to get two so that they'll have someone when you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did. I looked at a lot of shelters and looked for cats and things like that. But it was just, it was during COVID. So they were being really weird about like adopting cats. Mm. And so, but then I found a lady in Oklahoma that she will ship cats to you.
Oh.
And she's a Bengal breeder. And she'll ship the cats.
Okay.
So I just like paid a little shipping fee. I, you know, paid for my cats and then I got them and it was just super easy, super simple, and I've been so happy ever since.
And so how long has it been since you've had them?
2 years, a little over 2 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh, they are the cutest. I'll definitely put a photo so that people that are watching, they can see. But Tiana, I kind of got ahead of myself, but who are you? If you were to get into Uber and someone were to ask, what do you do? What would you say?
I mean, I usually say I'm a model.
Okay.
And I feel like in an Uber, they're usually like, oh, an Instagram model, an influencer. And I'm like, yeah, sure, you know.
Okay.
Influencer, atmosphere model. Yeah. I love it. That's kind of what I do all the time is just atmosphere, any kind of modeling.
Awesome. And you do modeling for fashion, I want to say?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So- I'm obviously not the greatest of all time at fashion modeling, but I'm working on it. So the thing was, is when I first started modeling, I wanted to go into fashion. Mm-hmm. But then you get into this place where it's like everyone's trying to push you the other way. So I was, you know, I was so young and so naive. It was during COVID. I needed money, blah, blah, blah. So I did start going the other route, which is towards like glamour, boudoir, got into OnlyFans, things like that. But I right now I feel like I'm trying to turn back to fashion, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely. And yeah. Why do you want to make the switch?
I respect, for one, for myself. And I know that a lot of girls that do those kinds of things, they do respect themselves, but I feel like I just wasn't strong enough. And I could be maybe one of these days, but I wasn't strong enough, and I don't think – I'm afraid of going back into it. I just kind of want to stay over here.
Okay.
But I'm really enjoying myself ever since I stopped OnlyFans. It's been really nice.
And and if you don't mind, if we kind of like dive within that, mm-hmm. how long did you do OnlyFans?
I started in April of 2020, I believe. And I stopped in, I think it was November of 2021.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the big thing that made you want to stop?
So I kind of got a little bit depressed in about October-ish. Mm-hmm. So I got an agent. My friend had an agent that was doing her OnlyFans. She said he was great. And so I started with him. And I was making, I would say, about 10 to 20 grand a month. And then as soon as he started, it was, you know, steady, maybe a little bit up. But then after 2 months, it just crashed. Oh. Like, completely crashed. And so I guess I didn't start with him in October. It would have been, I think I was with him for like 3 months. But I think I stopped in November. But it just completely crashed. I was making like 2 grand a month, and that was on a good month. And then so I was questioning things. I would ask him, and he didn't really have an answer. He would just say, oh, you're not making good enough content. You're trying to sell things for too expensive. This, and this.
But you were already doing between 10 and 20K prior to him?
Yes,
and prior. He's going to try to own?
Yes, yes.
This is why I don't like any of that.
Yeah, exactly. I wish that I could go back, but I don't know.
It's part of your journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's part of the journey, and I feel like maybe that was just what I needed to stop.
Okay.
But it was, so when I found out, it was because someone had messaged me, and he was like, hey, this isn't your phone number. You gave me a phone number on your OnlyFans to come off of OnlyFans. And he was like, this isn't your phone number. Because he had my phone number. He knew me. And so I reached out to him and I just said, I don't know what that phone number is. I have an agent. And then I reached out to my agent. And as soon as I texted him that I had that phone number that he was sending out, he, I guess, sent everybody a message on OnlyFans and said, hey, here's my phone number, you know, message me, and then messaged everybody that was already off or that he gave the phone number to. He said, let's meet up, and here's the amount. They all paid him, and obviously I did not meet up with them.
Did you get any of that money?
No.
Oh, my...
Wait,
I have a question. Were you just not checking your OnlyFans at all?
No, I was too scared. I'm telling you, I was going through a weird crisis where tired of being that figure.
Totally feel you. Honestly, yeah. you're talking about this feeling. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, were you just making content and then sending it to the agent and then just hopefully, and then he would cash you out? Or,
yeah.
Oh my gosh,
Yeah. So, what? Well, actually, okay. what would happen was that it would go to my bank account, and then I would Venmo him.
Okay. So you kept whatever you kept left. Your bank information yeah, on yeah, it. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. Okay.
My bank information was on it, but it obviously wasn't on the account that he made. He even made a fake Venmo in my name, but it was Tiana. So my full name is Christiana, but it was Tiana. So I had a full lawsuit. I still do, and I've started talking to a lawyer here in Vegas about it.
Okay.
Dude,
this is wild.
Yeah. It was so crazy. Like, oh, and then, I reached out to my friend that was with him.
I was literally about to ask.
And she said that she wasn't making a bunch of money either. And I told her, okay, I have a lawyer. I'm, discussing things with him. And I feel so bad. She doesn't even talk to me anymore because she got so upset with me, which...
Wait,
she
why did she
a lawyer?
Why did she get upset with you?
I didn't finish taking the steps. So the lawyer that I found is my ex.
Oh.
And he got too busy. When we got together, he became too busy to get it done. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, so and then she kind of I think she got a little bit upset with me and doesn't really speak to me anymore. There was a few other girls, too, that, were really cool about it. And they also were like, okay, yeah, let me know what this
lawyer says.
So he did
this to multiple people?
Yes. Yes. So I worked at a sports bar in Frisco, Texas. Well, it's actually in Plano, but Plano, Frisco area.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Geography is not my thing.
It is what it is. Either way, it's around there. So I worked at a sports bar, and these girls worked with me at this sports bar.
Okay.
So that was kind of how I knew all of them.
We were good friends. Okay. Yeah. Dude, that is wild.
Yeah.
This is why I joined one agency, and it was like a startup agency, but I'm such a, what's the best way to put it? Type A, and I love to be in control, and because I wasn't really good friends with them or like knew their past, and because it was just starting I was like on their ass all the time, but I just realized like the agency way is just not a good way, because especially when OnlyFans blew up, I feel a lot of especially men decided to create their own agencies when they have no marketing background, they have no sales background, they have a lot of different things that they don't have a background in, but they saw that it was kind of a cash grab opportunity. And I joined it after everything ended with that agency. I don't know why. I still beat myself up sometimes, but I went with another agency and they were taking out such a high percentage that I don't even want to say because it's literally embarrassing. But after that was all said and done and I got out of that situation, I learned a lot about business and business agreements that I will now take on. So as much as it didn't work out in my favor, I still learned a lot. And I'm sure that you probably learned a lot from your situation as well. Obviously, it wasn't the best.
Wasn't the best, but yes, I did learn a lot. And I wish that I had done it at a different time in my life, because it kind of made me like anxious to do any kind of business, anything.
Right.
Just to be the owner of anything and have to...
You really just have to be careful and
answer to people.
Yeah. You really just have to be careful on who you partner up with.
Yes.
Which for myself, I'm kind of the same way when you say owning something yourself and then getting people to work for you and whatever means that means. That did not say that right, but okay. But even for myself, with going through the agencies and having like built this thing up and then let someone else take over, but not in the way that I would have enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It has also, for my future endeavors, I enjoy just doing everything myself.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm still learning, because at the end of the day, you can only do so much with your time. And if you want to build a business, you have to be able to delegate to other people.
Yeah, so, you do. You definitely do. And other people are relying on you.
Right. That's very true.
I think that's the scariest part is the fact that people are relying on you.
That's so true. That is so true.
So scary. I don't know.
Okay, so kind of to go down a different route, you have the most interesting childhood, and I would love to dive in with that.
Yeah.
So tell me where you're originally from.
So I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I lived there until I was 7 when my parents divorced. And then my dad got custody, so we moved to right outside of Durant, Oklahoma.
Are these very small towns?
So Tulsa's not. Tulsa's either the biggest or the second largest city in Oklahoma. Okay. So there's Oklahoma City and Tulsa, which most people, if they think of Oklahoma, that's what they're going to say. Okay. But it's right outside of Durant, Oklahoma. It's a town called Blue. 200 people is the population.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That is so small.
So small.
Oh,
so
my
small.
Goodness.
It's so small that I don't know how many years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, something like that, 35-ish, they had to merge the two schools of the two towns. So there was Blue and Boca Chica. And they were so small that they had to merge them together, and one became the elementary and one became the high school. There's no middle school because there doesn't need to be. There's just elementary and high school. And that's it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, so you're in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go after that?
After I was in, so when I was 16, I moved out and.
16?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why so young?
So I love my dad to death, but I think I just had so much anger towards him.
Oh, interesting.
I had a stepmom that was very, very abusive to me, my sister, and also my dad. So, and I feel like I'm pretty forgiving a lot, you know, a lot more with him now that I'm kind of realizing that you can be in a toxic relationship and it's really, really difficult to get out of.
Okay.
And I'm kind of realizing that, like, she was manipulative towards him, you know, told him, she told me multiple times, your dad will never be anything without me. If he tries to leave me, his reputation is over. He was a police officer in town. So it was a very big deal. You know, his reputation is over. I'm taking everything he has, which it was very true. When he left her, she did exactly that. And she was insane. But my dad's kind of, you know, he's learned his lesson, I hope, by now, which he's with an amazing woman. I don't think anything will ever happen with him. But I feel like he's learned his lesson because he didn't grab his things, all of his things, in one day. He's one of those people where he's like, okay, I'm done, but I'm going to come back for my things.
Mm.
So she either, we don't really know, but my dad thinks that she either sold all of his guns, you know, his guns that belonged to the police department, either sold them or threw them at the bottom of our pond. We have no idea, but he had no guns, yeah. And they even sent one of the police officers out there, and she either refused to open the door or she said that they weren't there. I don't remember, but yeah, it was insane drama.
So from 7 into 16, you're living with this crazy woman.
Psycho, yes.
And then 16, where did you go?
So when my dad
And how did your dad feel about that?
Yeah. No, he was fine. So when my dad left, her name's Janice, he started dating this girl that was 19 years old. And they're still together. I love her now. But at the time, you know, that's going to make any daughter angry. My sister was 20 at the time. So she's like a few months older than this girl.
I'm so old. Yeah.
I know. But we were so angry at him. Like, how?
I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
You go from abusive to then someone my age.
Yes. Whoa. Yes. And he wanted me to move in with her and him and her sister, which I had never met.
Whoa. That's a weird concept to think about.
It was so strange to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never met her sister. Her sister was staying with them at the time. I think she was having relationship issues or something like that. But I just, you know, as a 16-year-old growing up in a small town, meeting new people is terrifying, especially someone that's going to be a part of, like, your life, a serious person that's going to be a part of your life. Also, the fact that I had a terrible stepmom, you know, for the first part of my life. And then here he comes and gets into another relationship right away. And I was also so upset because the reason he left was because he found out Janice was cheating and not because of the things that she did to us.
Mm.
But, you know, just like I said earlier, toxic and manipulative relationships are so easy to get sucked into, and you know, he was a police officer, so he didn't make that much money. All of the money we had was hers. And he just, she controlled his money too. She, like, had access to his bank accounts and just controlled him completely. So, but yeah, so I moved out. He wanted me to move in with them, and I just felt uncomfortable doing that at the time. I moved out. I moved to Durant, which is the town right beside Blue.
Okay.
So it's, it, but it was about 45 minute drive to my school from where I lived.
Oh, sure.
30 to 45 minute. And it would, it became about an hour because of the time they were doing, they were like, you know, renovating all of the roads, things like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Doing road work. So it was a lot of traffic, a lot of whatever.
So my question is, where did you move? Did you move out with just you and your sister? Did you have a friend?
So I moved out, and I, what was crazy was I had a manager, and he had, for some reason, a three-bedroom apartment. I have no idea why, or, but whatever. I mean, I'm so grateful for that. But he had a three-bedroom apartment, and he was already planning on moving out. And I had another friend that worked, I worked at Rib Crib in Durant. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rib Crib, but it's a very, it's an Oklahoma and a Texas thing. Okay. It's, yeah. But I worked there, and, you know, we were all just kind of family. I was the youngest one, pretty much, and everybody just kind of knew me as baby T, little T. That's kind of what everyone called me. So these two girls, so one girl, she had a one-bedroom at this same complex, and she loved it. But she was wanting to get a two-bedroom so her cousin could move in with her. And so Michael, my manager, he was like, I need a one-bedroom because I want my boyfriend to move in with me, and we don't need all of those bedrooms. So they switched, you know, leases, and me, Avery is her name, and then Anna, her cousin, we all moved in together. And I'm telling you, I've never been so grateful in my life for, like, people being there for me. I only had to pay $200 a month, which... insane. Like, I don't know.
Now it seems so cheap, yeah. But I'm sure at that age you were freaking out.
I was. I definitely was, but I was, it was a lot at the time. And I think
especially
she
at
knew that.
16. I cannot imagine moving out at 16. I didn't move out till I was 20, I think I was. And even that, I was so scared. I was sharing a room with a girl, and I think I played $360, and I was freaking out thinking, how am I going to come up with this money? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a server at the time and I was making that money, but just the feeling of having to set aside money for rent is such an interesting concept to grasp.
So did you have a job before that, though? Like, did you understand how making money and everything work?
Yeah. So yeah. I had my serving job for quite some time. This was when I transferred colleges. So I was, you know, a young adult.
yeah.
But I still, it's just, it's very different when you come out of grade school. And even when you're in college, you're being told what to do, how to think, basically. They don't really teach you the real world about finance, investing, savings. Hopefully your parents know, but if your parents don't teach you that, you're kind of out there on your own. So I just remember the first time I moved out, it was just an interesting feeling of, oh, now each month I have to pay this certain amount. And at that time, $360, maybe it was like $390. I don't remember exactly how much it was, but I just remember thinking it's so much money. Whereas now, I wish I was paying that.
I know, me too.
That would be amazing.
I'm like, add a few zeros to that, and that's how much I'm paying.
Right? Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Okay, so you move out, you move in with these girls, 16.
Mm-hmm.
What happens from there?
They took me under their wing, and I was still going to school. I finished out the school year, and I knew that I could not afford to go back and, you know, do my senior year. So I just did my senior year online. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah, it really was. And I'm so happy that I did it that way, because school was, you know, it was so far away. I was paying so much in gas and then the rent.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, I don't know, it was just a lot for me.
Okay.
And I also wanted to get out of Durant. I wanted to explore and start my life. So my high school sweetheart, he, you know, was already in college, but he was moving to OSU. And so that's in Stillwater, Oklahoma. So we went to Stillwater and we lived together. He had his apartment and I had mine. But we were staying in my apartment because his roommates were insane. Absolutely insane. And my roommates were really cool. I liked my roommates a lot. He did too. He got along with them really well. It was a good time.
So how did you end up? Because I know you went from Oklahoma to Texas to now here.
Yeah. So I moved from from Tulsa when I was 7 to Durant. And then when I was 16, I moved to Stillwater. Or I moved to Durant. I finished the school year out. So I was 17-ish, I think. Yeah, it was like 17-ish. And then I went to Stillwater. And I finished school in Stillwater, just like an online class. And then I moved to Tulsa a year later to go to college, and then I couldn't afford it, so I stayed there for a year. COVID hit, and then moved to Texas.
Okay. And then you were in Texas for 2 years, and then now you're here.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier you mentioned how during COVID you were going through a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to highlight that if you're open to it, because we've talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
But I find it very interesting. And with that difficult time, you have discussed how your mental health wasn't the best.
Correct.
I would love for you to kind of walk me through what that mental health struggle was. I personally have never struggled with anything mental health, in my opinion. And so, did it just arise? Have you always dealt with mental health? I mean, you've had a crazy childhood, so.
That's kind of, I question that myself. I actually have no idea if I was depressed or anything as a child.
Okay.
I know I was anxious. I had a lot of anxiety growing up.
I mean,
up.
It sounds like you were in fight or flight mode with the stepmom. Yes. So I can only imagine you being in that for 7 years and finally your body just, not necessarily crashing down, but.
And that's exactly what happened. Okay. When I moved out, it was a crash, like complete. I didn't like to clean. I didn't, you know, anything like that, which not that I really had to when I was living at that apartment, because I was always just like work, home, get dressed for work, or sorry, school, home, get dressed for work, go to work, come home, do any homework that I could, go to school, cheat off of my friend's homework because I didn't actually have time to do homework, and then go throughout my day. I'm telling you, I cheated my way through the last few years of high school because I didn't have time. So, that's what's kind of sad. That's why I'm seeing a therapist right now, is because I don't really know if I was depressed. I'm sure I was depressed, but it was almost like I didn't have time,
right,
or I didn't understand, you know, mental health wasn't really a thing. Of course, it's always been a thing, but it wasn't really a normalized thing as for anybody in my city that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really very normalized until I lived in Tulsa and people started talking to me about it and things like that.
Oh, shit.
Depression is a thing, this, and this. So yeah, I didn't really know.
So what was it, what happened in your life for you to come to terms of, I am not okay, I need to seek help?
So it was when I moved in by myself for the first time. I had roommates in Stillwater, and then I moved to Tulsa. So this was after.
How old were you?
I was 20. So it was in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I think I lived in Tulsa for almost 2 years now that I'm thinking back.
Also,
to it.
So random, but it's interesting. So you were born in 2000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really cool because the year matches your age.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, I love that. I love telling people that. I'm like, I was born in 2000, so you'll always know my age.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you're so cute. 2000. I was born in 1993. That sounds so old.
Oh, but it's really not.
It's not. It's not, but it just sounds interesting. Okay. Yeah. Continue on. Sorry. So you just started living by yourself, and that's when you realized what had happened.
So I started living alone, completely alone, no roommates. So I lived in Tulsa for a year. We ended our lease, and then I moved in by myself. And it was downtown Tulsa. I had a boyfriend, And me and my high school sweetheart, we had already ended things. I got a new boyfriend.
Okay.
He was not the greatest. Let's just say that much. He liked to cheat and do other things. So I was just not in a good place, you know, in general with my relationship. My best friend had just moved out of town. So I spent like every second with her during COVID, you know, during the lockdown, I lived with her. I didn't live with my roommates at home. Me and my dog, I had a dog at the time. We moved in with her and we just stayed there the entire time. So it was like an adrenaline overload and you're so excited because you always have that person right there. You have that companion and then you go and now it's just like, okay, now what? I don't have anyone. I'm just sitting here at home. And I think that's kind of when it all came crashing down because that was the first time I had ever stopped.
I was about to say, do you feel that a lot of it came up because it was the first time of you sitting with your own thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I do. And I wasn't working because...
COVID.
Well, COVID, and then it opened back up, and I tried to go back to work, and I couldn't. So it was like all of the girls there was the people, or a lot of the girls there were the people that he was talking to behind my back, sleeping with, whatever.
Okay.
It was just kind of miserable and I just couldn't handle it. And I told my boss, I'm so sorry, but you know, here's my 2 weeks. And luckily, I got COVID that day. So my 2 weeks were COVID.
Okay. So, kind of going back to the mental health, you finally sit down with your own thoughts. Walk me through kind of the situation.
So I was just alone a lot. And I started out going to Midland, Texas with my boyfriend at the time. He worked in oil and gas. And so he would take me to Midland with him, you know. We would go and we would stay the entire week and then come home on the weekends and we would get his kids. And so it was just really exciting.
He had kids?
Yeah. He had two kids.
Your story just keeps adding on.
I know. I love his kids. They're incredible. And one of them, she's 13 now. And she knows that she's welcome to call me anytime she wants.
But how interesting, because then your dad was, because you're pretty similar. I mean, obviously not too similar in age by any means, but kind of going back to your dad and having such a young girlfriend. They recently got married, correct?
They did, yes.
So how is that relationship with her now?
Right.
Oh, your stepdad's wife and you, because she's the young one, correct? Or is
she's the young one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. My dad's wife is the young one, and I love her. Like me and my sister, we get along with her so great.
Is it interesting to have your dad at an older age and him have such a young girlfriend?
It is interesting, yes. And at first I hated it, but then over time, you know, I would just go and visit, and we would hang out with her, and I don't know. We all just became close and we started showing our true fun, giggly, weird personalities to her. And she kind of started opening up and showing hers to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of when we started really getting close.
Right. And I just find that so interesting because she is basically your age.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see you guys getting along, but just the dynamic between the age difference. Yeah.
It is different sometimes, you can kind of see, but at the same time, I have never, ever seen my dad happier.
That's awesome. To each their own. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I just think it is an interesting dynamic that isn't very popular. I mean, to each their own. I just feel like that as a daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a relationship with my dad, but hypothetically, if I did and he was dating someone very similar to my age, I just feel for myself that would be a very interesting dynamic just because I'm so close in age with her, but then my dad is my dad. That's such an interesting dynamic, but.
And at first it was so weird.
But then
it was
just weird. But you also said that you date older men.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Do you feel that that comes from seeing your dad date a younger woman, or do you think that you've just always been into older men?
I have always had a weird thing for older men. Like,
and where do you think that comes from?
Daddy issues.
Okay.
Or codependency.
Okay.
Now I understand that daddy issues is really, you know, the term codependency.
Yeah.
And I actually just recently read a book called Facing Codependency.
Okay.
And 2 weeks later, I left my recent ex. So,
hey.
Yeah. 2 weeks after I finished the book. 2 weeks after I finished the book.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I mean, you're learning.
Mm-hmm. I learned so much from that book. It's insane.
Okay.
It's so crazy. But yeah, it's really just been, you know, I've been facing codependency all my life because my dad was always working. You know, he was a police officer, but also I feel like he was always trying to pick up extra shifts or trying to do certain things so that he could stay away from Janice. And me and my sister, we just had to be there with Janice, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was really difficult, you know, for us. And we just didn't have that, like, attention that we needed mm-hmm. growing up. And I think now it's just kind of like you almost want pretty much that in a relationship, if that makes any sense. And you want that attention from those people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just feel, I also feel really secure with an older man because I know that, you know, he is most likely has his crap together and he is successful for the most part. You know, like, you don't have to be,
he's already gone through the building blocks.
Yes, he's already gone through the building blocks, right. And he can teach me things, I can teach him things, and we can come in the middle if it's a good relationship. If it's not, you know, he's gonna be more in control trying to teach you and trying to mm-hmm. keep you in his whatever he wants, and anything you say is wrong.
Yeah.
And
see, I feel like that's what's hard because I personally believe that those dynamics with the huge age gap definitely work. And, you know, if you think about evolution and what's ingrained in us and all that stuff, I can understand it through that perspective as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel that it can be very difficult to be in that place of a younger woman looking for an older man, but also kind of, in a sense, having to give him a couple tests to see whether it is you want control or power. Yes. to groom, because a lot of, in my experience, a lot of men who are looking for that are need to deal with issues through a therapist or whatever it may be. Because they don't have control and power in a certain area of their life that they wish. Which makes me really sad because I've seen a lot of women that are younger, you know, women go for the guys because of the money,
mm-hmm.
financial stability. You know, that's ingrained in us because we carry babies and
yes.
a man is to protect and provide. And it's like, if I'm going to put all this through my body and on my body, mm-hmm. where are you helping out in a sense?
Exactly.
So I can understand that, but I've definitely seen more bad cases than good cases when it comes to that age range or that age gap. So that is interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I feel like I do see more of those relationships not work out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so strange. So I don't know. I don't really, that's kind of why I want to stay single right now. Is because I don't know what I'm into. And
do you talk to your therapist about this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do you feel going to a therapist? One, how long has it been since you've been going to a therapist?
I started seeing this therapist when me and my ex were together. It was in, I believe, May-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you feel that therapist has helped you grow since your first session?
Well, we did a lot of EMDR therapy when we first.
What is that?
When I first started seeing him. So he could tell right off the bat I have PTSD and anxiety and things like that from childhood, whatnot, and depression is a really big thing in my life. So he could just tell. He knew what I needed. So we started doing the EMDR therapy, and it's you just have like these two things, and there's different ways to do it, but the way that we did it was he would give me these two things to hold, and it vibrates in each hand, you know, for just, I don't even know, just a certain amount of time, maybe like once every second, it just kind of goes back and forth.
Okay.
Or it'll do this twice and then go. It's a weird pattern. But then you close your eyes and he walks you through and kind of tells you, like asks you questions. So beforehand, you have to kind of come up with a plan. And someone has to be there that protects you, that you feel protected from. And it was so sad. I was with my ex and I didn't feel, I think that was the first time I kind of realized that maybe I shouldn't be with him because I didn't even say his name as a protector.
Mm-hmm.
I said Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So that was who I felt like, I don't know. So he was like, it can be a celebrity. It can be this. And that was the first thing that came to mind was, oh, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
But so he was my protector. And also my sister was. So my sister did protect me pretty much all of my life. She was my mother as well. She taught me everything I know about being a girl pretty much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big role for a big sister to fill. Mm-hmm.
It was. It definitely was. Even when we were in Tulsa with my mom, she was still always there taking care of me.
Wait, speaking of your mom, so your parents get a divorce. How come you never went with your mom?
My dad got full custody of us. Oh. And if that tells you anything about the man getting full custody.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like it's got to be a bad situation. So I obviously was so young, so I can't say anything really from my perspective, but from what I've heard over the years.
Oh, so you don't even talk to your mom to this day?
I talk to her. Oh. I talk to her now. So when I was 18, I was allowed to message her. I wasn't allowed to talk to her until I was 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we were allowed to go and do visits, like the monitored visits. And my dad was willing to pay for the gas for her. Or we were willing to come to Tulsa. But she, I think she was on drugs at the time or going through a lot. And she never, you know, set up the visits. She went a few years without calling us, so we had every Tuesday and Thursday, she would call us, and we would talk to her on the phone, you know, for an hour, 30 minutes, whatever, and my dad had to record it and continuously send it to his lawyer.
Oh, shit.
Over the years, yeah, so he had to just continuously do that, and yeah, so I didn't ever really create a relationship with my mom. She wants to create one now, and we have a good relationship, my sister and I, with my mom. We have no hard feelings. I know my mom's bipolar, so I know that she went through a lot. She was also afraid of coming out. Her family is very Christian, very, very Christian, and she was always so afraid of coming out. She is now a butch lesbian, dyke lesbian, whatever you want to call it. She has short hair, dresses like a guy, and she was always so afraid to come out and tell everyone, even while she was with my dad. She would dress like a guy. She didn't ever shave her head or, you know.
I mean, times were so different back then.
They were. They definitely were. And, so she just came out as a lesbian when they were divorcing and had all of these girlfriends, was going through a lot of like relationship issues with one of them. And yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you know that your parents did you so wrong in certain ways, but they also did you so right. Like they still loved you unconditionally and they still wanted to be there for you. And I know that my mom wanted to be there for us like so badly. Mm-hmm. I know that she did. And so I forgive her. I love her. I have no hard feelings, you know. But she was going through a lot at the time. She was always taking painkillers. This was while the custody battle was going on.
Mm.
I don't remember seeing a lot of my mom
because
she was always asleep. And the only ways that we could actually, like, wake her up was to tell her that there was a fire. And she would only wake up for a few seconds. So if you needed to get something out, you had to tell her right then and there. That's one thing I do remember. I remember we were wild. So wild. We did not have a curfew. We were always just running around the neighborhood barefoot, going crazy, doing crazy stuff. It was so much fun, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, we weren't bad, terrible kids. And and then my dad got custody of us because they took us to the doctor. We had scabies, we had worms, we had blood poisoning.
What?
We had fleas, ticks, lice, all the whole shebang, the whole shebang. My sister had 2 weeks to live and I had about 4.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so
Tiana, you have had literally the most interesting upbringings ever.
So weird. It's so weird to think about. I don't know.
But it's also...
But I didn't feel bad, I don't think. I don't know.
But it's also, one, it's very... I'm just... I could not believe everything that you went through as a child. Like, holy cow. But also the fact that you're able to recognize and realize that your parents did the best that they knew how.
Mm-hmm.
And... it is what it is. You can't really resent them.
Exactly.
You can go about how you want to handle that relationship moving forward now that you're an adult. But for you to recognize that is really big. But also, I am just so floored about how much you have gone through as a kid. That is wild.
I almost want to write a book, but I feel like...
I think
like,
you should.
I feel like I wouldn't even know where to start or... You know, I'm such a scatterbrained person, and mm-hmm. I don't know why, I don't know how to fix that, but I am so scatterbrained, so I feel like even just telling one little story, I go into all of these little rabbit holes and just...
I think that's called ADHD. I have the same thing. Honestly, yes. you've been popping around, and I know how your brain works because mine does the same. But I'm also thinking in my head. I just keep thinking, okay, I need to bring it back.
Yes, as long as I have someone to bring me back, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I will go into all of these little rabbit holes.
Yeah, no, that's so crazy though.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel your childhood has affected to like who you are as a person right now?
I think right now, it's weird. I don't know. This year specifically, one of my main goals is to throw away that victim mentality. I don't want to be a victim. I am a victim of a lot of things, but so are you. And so is, you know, this person and this person. Everybody is a victim of something.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just dwell on that and just continuously think about that, I feel like there's no healing for ourselves. And that's very, you know, like we need to be selfish in that way and we need to forgive people, not for them. You don't have to go up and tell someone, hey, I forgive you. Or my belief is you don't have to say, oh, I forgive you for doing this to me. You just forgive them, you know, like
it's for yourself.
Yeah. And just kind of stop surrounding yourself with that person. And mm-hmm. if they ask you why, just say, yeah, I don't know. Maybe tell them
we're
the
going
truth.
Apart. Yeah, or that. Yeah, absolutely.
We're not. Yeah. So I feel like this year, I really just want to stop having that victim mentality because I have had that a lot,
okay.
And my childhood really was affecting me so much, and I had a lot of hate for people, and I don't know. It's so hard, and I think that was why my mental health was the way that it was. Because I had so much anger built up and I didn't know what to do with it.
Ooh, how interesting. Yeah.
I felt very overwhelmed all the time and I felt like a victim and I wanted everyone else to know that I was a victim type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would meet someone and I would just tell them my whole life story. And
interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you feel by doing that it helped you though? Kind of realize what had happened to you, what you were going through, and processing it?
I think no.
Okay.
I think, yeah, I really don't think so. I think it just helped me to kind of what we were talking about earlier. Like someone looks at me and thinks, oh, she's pretty and she's always had everything handed to her and everything in her life is good, whatnot. And I almost wanted people to understand that so that they could really understand I'm not unapproachable. I'm not, you know, this whatever that you probably think I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really this. But now it's kind of like, if you feel that way about me, I'm sorry, but that's your own problem. I don't know.
No, that's great. I think that that's a very strong mindset to have. Absolutely. Because one, as you were saying earlier, to forgive someone is for yourself. It's not for them. Mm-hmm. Because you're the one carrying the energy and the hostile and all the negativity. But once you yourself release it, you feel so much better.
Yes, exactly.
And even going back to you right now saying people are going to think whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not your job to help them understand how they should view you. Because at the end of the day, you're going to find the people that you attract, and there's going to be people that you're not their cup of tea, and it is what it is.
Exactly. I love that. It is what it is. That's another motto I want to have. All 2023. It is what it is. And I am not a victim. No. So
that's good, though. Yeah. So now that you were in Vegas, mm-hmm. do you feel that it has helped you not being close to Oklahoma to kind of navigate the world yourself? Yes. And how has that been? Navigating the world by yourself.
I feel so accomplished. And I think that's why I've never been this happy. I am happier than I've ever been. Of course, I'm still a little depressed, obviously, but I have also never been this happy in my life. And I think that's because I do feel accomplished. I did this on my own. And
that's a huge accomplishment.
I'm not in a relationship for the first time ever. I mean, since I was in high school, I've been in a relationship. I've gone from one to the other.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, okay.
And I told myself I want to be single. I want to be celibate. And I told myself I wanted to be celibate for at least 6 months. And then if I made it to 6 months, I wanted to go for a year. I didn't make it.
Oh. All right. Well,
I made it 5 months, though.
Okay.
Well, almost 5 months.
I mean, hey, I think whatever works best for you is you have to follow your own journey.
Exactly.
That's now, are you retrying, or are you kind of, do you feel that you don't need to?
I don't know. So I've never been the type that likes to just sleep around or have hookups, you know, whatever you want to call it. If I sleep with someone, I almost feel like I have to be with that person. I fall in love so fast and so easily. And I think it's the codependency in me where
you recognize. That's all that matters.
Yes. You feel that skin to skin contact and you're just like, oh my gosh, well, I love you.
It's also women though. When we have sex, we produce a lot more hormones. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the exact hormone.
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like the fall in love chemical.
Yes. And it just kind of passes through. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. But that's good. You're happier. You're accomplished. You're self-sufficient. We love it. No, that's awesome. And where do you see yourself going from here?
I feel like so many of my answers are I have no idea.
Hey, but that's okay. That's okay.
That's exactly. I almost feel like this is the first time ever that I've been able to say, oh, I don't know, and be okay with it. You know?
But it's a hard thing to tell other people. I'm not saying that you don't have it together, but I don't know. I don't have it together. I'm working my way through it. Yeah. Because a lot of people, and especially we're conditioned and we're influenced and pressed to always know everything.
Yes.
Know what you're doing in 5 years. Know what you're doing in 10 years. But if you don't, it's okay. It doesn't mean that you're not going somewhere. You're figuring out life.
Yeah.
You've also just went through so much. You were good.
And like the fact that I have gone through so much and I am still young, so for the past few years, I've always surrounded myself with people that were older than me. Mm-hmm. And I still kind of do, but I've started really reminding myself, I'm 22 years old. I'm fine. I don't have to have a Range Rover. I don't have to have all of these
social media, baby.
Accomplished. Mm-hmm. I, you know,
Go be a kid.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I want to be a kid. I want to do fun things. My ex always used to get like so upset with me because, not really upset, but he would just kind of get annoyed that I wanted to do fun kid things. Like, I love to go to weird, I don't know, trampoline parks or just anything fun. Top golf. I want to go hiking. I want to go and get in ATVs and ride around. Just anything at all.
Keep that your whole entire life, though.
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm saying. I'm like, when do people lose it and why?
Right, right. No, yeah. That is one thing I've learned through growing up is always let your inner child show. Always. Yes. Because I think that that's the best way to live life. More curiosities. You're a lot more positive about what's around you.
Yeah.
And you take in the present moment a lot more.
Yes. Exactly.
So I think that's awesome. Well, I have to say, thank you so much for coming on here and opening up about your story. I really appreciate you opening up because I think that that takes a lot. And I'm just honored that you did open up about it. So thank you so much. Yes, it's been amazing.
Thank you.
I want to end with this one question.
Yeah.
You were still very young, but if you had to go back to the little Tiana, mm-hmm. and give her one piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say be more confident and also learn as much as you can and be more assertive.
Okay.
I really wish that I was more assertive with people and just kind of, you know, not to a point where it comes off aggressively, but I do wish that I had my own opinion growing up. Mm. And because now I struggle to have my own opinion, or I feel like, oh, I don't know enough about this to have my own opinion. And I'm just now learning that I am important and I matter and I can have my own opinion because I pay my own bills, you know?
Absolutely.
But I would tell little Tiana to be more assertive and more confident.
I love that. I love that. I love that. All right. Where can the people find you?
I am on Instagram mostly, tiana.harkey.
I'll be sure to put it on the thing.
Yeah. And then I have a TikTok, but it's embarrassing. Don't follow me. It's
why not?
I don't know. I'm not creative when it comes to making video content or anything like that. Mm. I'm not creative. I can do pictures all day. I can stand in front of a camera and I can even do video content if I have a photographer, mm-hmm. but I don't like to be talking into the camera, or I'm just not creative. So you have to come up with the idea for me and then I can do it.
Mm, yeah. I feel you. Social media is hard. It's totally fine.
It is so hard. It is so hard.
All right. Well, so again, difficult. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and maybe next time.
Yes. Next time. Let's do it again.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye.